Oh, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Thursday stream. This is going to be a very glowy one. I am joined
Really?
by our usual co-host. Trigger's here. He couldn't miss this one because we'll be bringing back some of the classic memes. Say hello, Trig.
Hello, Trick.
I knew that was coming.
You can't ask me to
I
pass
know, I
up a
know.
classic joke. No, good to be back. Yes, this wouldn't. They're at it again. Basically, it looks like, isn't it? But we will get there.
They can't keep getting away with it. Well, it's not purely going to be about that. As is tradition, we also have our the second host of Starman and the Zoomer, as people have put in the chat. Evelyn is here to get us deep into the weeds.
As per usual.
Our resident weed pursuer.
Hey, simmer down.
That was completely unintentional.
Sure.
Before we start, I will do the normal YouTube-y things. We are still monetized somehow. So the link is in the description if you want to make a Streamlabs donation. That is the best way to support us. We are
Up,
still monetized
Susan.
via yes. We are monetized via YouTube still, so you can become a member if you want to support us monthly, or you can send a super chat, but do be aware that both of those have a 30% cut that is taken by YouTube. The fundraiser for Evelyn is now finished. It has raised the money and then some, to be fair. You raised it exactly through the online fundraiser, and there were people who gave around about £60 through the PayPal, and also there's about £20 that came through the YouTube channel. And this month's, well, I guess last month's now, but the month of May's ad revenue will go towards Evelyn at the Mises Institute. So
Awesome.
thank you
Yes.
guys. Thank you guys for that. We've raised a
Thank.
very decent amount of money in a relatively short amount of time, so
Yes, I was going to say th thank everyone very much who contributed to or shared or, mentioned it or whatever else to folk and got the word out for it. Because I wasn't expecting it to all come together that sort of quickly, and I have sort of my flights and stuff now. Sadly, some other barriers in the way, but we'll see what happens to those. I don't know. All in
well,
good
we might be
time.
able to work around them. Yes. Triggers, any updates you have? Anything you want to shill before we get into this? Because we've got quite a lot to cover.
No, I don't know. Don't know if you were out. I was on with proper horror show earlier in the week talking
I
about
saw that
horror
one,
movies,
actually, yes.
and hopefully coming back to do some more in the future on there. It seems I'm becoming a perennial co-host and guest. On various shows, which is good.
Oh
Good
no,
fun.
you're becoming me like 3 years ago.
Don't even start. Yeah, I bet. That and I don't know, I might be running more D&D games in the very near future as well. Which could be kind of fun, quite enjoying doing that. But that is me. I'm trying to fill my life with fun stuff at the moment because too much politics makes Trig get grumpy at the
Which,
moment.
yeah, makes Trigger a grumpy boy, a very grumpy boy. We
Oh,
will, as always, I don't know if you've got it up there, Evelyn, be using our trusty federal incandescent scale.
I can
It
grab
is
that.
constructed. It has been constructed for just these occasions. We've had this image for around about a year now, I think.
Oh, at
Maybe,
least.
yeah,
This was
yeah, yeah.
you. Re
Where did you
that was
post this?
pre-democratization.
Ah, yes, it was. It is in the stream resources, yes. It is a primo classic piece of the Starman and the Boomer lore.
Yeah.
Mostly because the original version of it had horrendous misspellings,
Yeah.
which if you've been following me for any length of time, you know
Oh.
that is tradition. My horrendous meme misspellings. And I actually go around and flatten all my layers as well, like an idiot, so I can correct them easily. Well, that's there we go. ye olde feral incandescent scale. So
The
we'll be rating.
regretful Brommer asset.
This is the one with the spelling mistakes, yes. This is the one with the spelling mistakes. I thought I would include it for flavor. but yeah, we do have the federal incandescent.
Autiste.
Yes. He is an autiste. He's fine autiste. Oui, oui, the autiste.
Right. Where shall we start then in this bright and intriguing journey? All 3 miles of it to your local convenience store.
I think we should start at the beginning. I think the links you've got here are actually in quite a good order, because there's a few of them we'll elucidate on later, but let's just chew through the different angles of this. If you don't know, someone enacted or reenacted Christchurch to convenience store Boogaloo in a perfectly peaceful black neighborhood, let's say. Everything okay over there?
Yep, no, I just accidentally clicked the thing. We're good now.
Oh, good, good. Don't click the thing. The thing should not be clicked.
Okay.
But yes, we have here, I believe this is the Washington Post?
No, sorry, this is the USA Today one I've got up first.
Which
is just like a really like simple, like a kind of heartstrings kind of thing of like, it was such a peaceful place and this person just arrived out of nowhere and for no reason whatsoever did these things and it was just so evil and this was such a nice community, but it was also a very impoverished community, because of course it is. You start with Jefferson Avenue runs north and south through Buffalo's east side, where 78% of the residents are people of colour. And I don't know, as we will see when we get into some later statistics, not that that's
Jamie, pull up those crime statistics.
Yeah, not that that's our favourite place to go to, but just this whole thing they're trying to do of being like, you know, it was all a record shop here once nurtured the musical interests of a young Rick James. It is a throbbing centre of the black cultural community and totally not like a crime-laden shithole.
Yeah, it's not the ghetto. It wasn't chosen because it is the ghetto. Hmm. It's a beautiful creature. It's a beautiful place full of beautiful creatures. Much not a ghetto.
Next, the opinion article from the Times of Washington Post, sorry. I know that's the one you mentioned there. I wasn't sure if that's the one you wanted to bring up first or not.
No, well, we can bring up the Washington Post one. I just, you're right about the ABC one, though. I don't know. What do you think, Trigg? Do you think this was a peaceful... It's basically they're trying to paint it as like the Rosa Parks neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking into this. It's about 200,000 people. It's if anyone's familiar, I mean, I know we've got a largely English audience, so
we do, yes.
The reference won't be missed on them. It is actually fairly similar, maybe a little heavily, not quite so much on the demographics, but very similar. It's not Nottingham. Essentially, type sort of numbers of people and crime rate. And anyone that knows about Nottingham and their crime rate, certainly in the 90s, it was run for cover. They're coming at you and they're shooting on
a Nottingham,
yes.
Yes,
Nottingham.
It was per head of capita, I think, the one point in the 90s, the most violent place in England, beating Manchester, hands down, Liverpool.
Still not beating Glasgow, though. But that's a different conversation.
No one can beat Glasgow. You've got Scots in Glasgow.
Fucking Max Boot is
they
such
ruined
a,
Scotland.
Max Boot is such a fucking slime ball, though. He starts this article with, "It was a conservative writer who coined the phrase, ideas have consequences."
Oh, it's yeah, people have already spotted Maximum Boot in the chat. They call him Max Boot because that's the main component of his diet. Well spotted there.
The mass shooting at a Buffalo supermarket on Saturday, which left 10 people dead, shows the consequences of two of the horrific ideas that have taken root on the American right: support for the Great Replacement theory and opposition to gun control. I think you find the shooter was pretty supportive of gun control by his manifesto.
It basically served as a shopping list for the ATF. There's we're not going to get into this too heavily because I don't want to make this a red lines stream. I want to actually get into a lot of the background on this and a lot of the solid factual basis we have for being very skeptical about these events. But if you read the supposed manifesto, it basically uses a lot of like specifically gun control language. It uses terms like thread. It talks about threaded barrels a lot, which not a lot of people talk about in rifles because most of them have them. It talks about muzzle devices and how great muzzle devices are. And don't you guys want to ban the muzzle devices again? It's extremely bizarre because it's either some like this 18-year-old Zoomer is either doing some like 4D chess of trying to make it look like a 40-year-old federal agent wrote this thing, or a 40-year-old federal agent wrote this thing.
Well, add that and just the bits that he took from the Christchurch manifesto. I was going to say that they've got bits in here where it's like, oh, well, the Christchurch, oh, no, sorry, the yeah, Buffalo gunman attacked ethnic diversity. Why is diversity said to be our greatest strength? Sorry. Yeah, his manifesto demanded, and then he goes on to say, you know, this is the same thing Tucker Carlson says, and then the great replacement theory, blah, blah, blah. But there's something I've noticed. But a lot of these articles that mention this great replacement theory and the things around it, they always make sure that when they talk about it, that it's about voting and electoral strategies.
Yes. Yeah.
In all of the articles we have, and it wasn't even something I deliberately looked for, just in all of them, it is about voting strategies, which I think is their way of basically pulling a limited hangout and sidestepping the issue of whether or not you can even argue that the great replacement would have other effects outside of voting demographics, which would, you know, then require you to assume loads of points that make leftism fall down at face value anyway.
It's well, it is what my brain's decided to go on strike for a second there. But yes, it is. It is used as a way of getting people to engage with it in a very limited way, and that it's about democracy, and it's about how we should interface with the voting and the voting and the
Because
majorities in that sense.
even you know JD Vance, the GOP Senate nominee in Ohio, who like Masters is bankrolled by billionaire Peter Thiel, offers an even sicker twist on this demented theory. He says that the Democrats are not only opening the borders to create a shift in the democratic makeup of this country, but that President Biden is deliberating. I should probably say deliberately, but anyway, deliberating letting fentanyl into the country to kill a bunch of MAGA voters in the middle of the heartland. So again, it's still about voting again. I mean, is this them just signaling the fact that the GOP platform for 2024 is stop immigration for the sake of our democracy?
I mean, to a degree, there's also a the other side of it that if they sort of go, oh, look, they're trying to wipe out the, you know. Or make the white race non-existent, or turn them into a minority and become an underclass. You do start getting accused of stoking racial tensions, and if you're on the air and you're a big organization doing that, that's it. They're in real shit. So that there is a degree of walking the fine line, with this, because you know if you look at the Christchurch shooters manifesto, that I haven't read it in a long time. I think I cast an eye through it at one particular point in time after it happened. But that's, you know, it's not talking about voter rights in there and voter blocks. The Great Replacement theory is very differently. It comes from the classic liberal sort of idea that was bandied around a lot in the 80s and in the 90s, which is you get everybody as mixed up as possible, get as much people having interracial babies as possible, and you end racism, guys, because everybody turns into a beigey brownie thing, and there is no white race, there is no black race, there, you
Well,
know,
so
we're
that
all just
wasn't.
one. Yeah.
We
There's only
shouldn't.
interchangeable economic units.
Yeah, we shouldn't lay that at the feet of liberalism. That was the fault of Clement Attlee, because you basically almost quoted from him word from word there.
I mean, I remember getting that lesson in, oh God, I would have been 11. It would have been, 1985, getting that lesson and sitting there going, What? This is nonsense. This is, what shouldn't we in that case be sending lots of white people over to Africa? To That did not go down well,
Yeah. Anyway, so just so we
I don't know.
can keep churning
Brazil's crying
through.
out for him.
Yeah.
Please make us more white. Yeah, go ahead. We'll skip ahead to the. We've had enough boot. We've
I was
had
just gonna say
maximum boot.
he's saying nothing, I don't hear it. But just to, there is once again one of these events that whether it's, real or not, irrespective of that, can be used to further the perception and manufactured consent around policy that they've been pre-planning for years, as we may see as we go through with some other stuff. But Buffalo shooting, NY probes, bone-chilling social media role. Very convenient at a time when there's a disinformation board getting launched in the US. There's the chat bill we covered the other week, coming through the European courts at the moment. And
Yes,
then, or sorry, commission. And then
that
there's
is a
the
lot, yeah, a
online
lot
harms
worse, I'd say,
bill
than the
is coming in the UK as well. But I'm just saying, like,
Yes.
obviously all these things aren't the same, but these are all happening at the same time. And then, just funnily enough, they managed to find that this guy that committed the Buffalo mass shooting was supposedly influenced by people on Discord and 4chan and 8chan, and he streamed it to Twitch, a company owned by Amazon, and all this kind of pish.
It's very criminal uses phone to blame,
Yeah.
because because the tech monopolies have a tech monopoly, you're forced to use their services, and
Yeah, I
then
tell you what,
people use their
they can
services.
get rid of anonymous online chats. It'll stop feds agitating people to commit terrorist attacks. Maybe the
Very true.
CIA will put up some sort of fight against this because, you can't get rid of 4chan, you'll put us out of business.
Well, what's it's like 8chan's mentioned here. Like, what fucking year is it? Like, I went on 8chan to look at how like bad things had got, and the first thing I saw was a reference to King of Paul, for those of you who remember that.
Oh, God.
it's okay, guys. King of Paul verified the manifesto. And the next reply is IA here, holy shit, which did make me laugh, but that's because I remember 2014 and it hurts.
Yeah, they
it's
don't
just
mention it here, but there was also the point I noticed in the Max Boot article, and I think it comes up in another one, that they're trying to blame Republicans for this because Republicans are, I think the language is honestly something like they're eviscerating gun laws. As we covered over some stuff in the last few weeks. No, they aren't. They're pretty happy to go hand in hand with the Democrats on the sort of gun control policies, whatever they may be, that flavor of the week.
Yes, there is. There
Lovely.
has not been a great laxening in American gun laws. I know you're relatively up to date on this as well, Trig. I think
I
you do speak
try
to some
to
of the
keep
Americans.
an eye on yeah, this type of thing in American gun laws. And yeah, no, it's whatever is wanted at this point.
Yeah, and I mean we've even got, sorry, not to interrupt you, but I just want to keep getting through stuff so we're not chugging along. We then
Sure.
have the actual effect of, these cries by media figures already viewed, or you can already view from the fact that you had the ADL the other day essentially tweeting and forcing Telegram to take down any raw footage or content that was publicly supporting the shooter. Which basically meant, anything that's could anywhere near considered not a complete and utter sort of disavowal must be removed. So that there was that series of tweets, and then literally hours later, you've got one of the dudes at Thieltide that runs quite a big page being directly messaged by like the admins of Telegram as part of some abuse team or something, is like what the account forwarding message looks like. And it's just, he's basically been demanded by Telegram for removing what was just a clip of the raw footage of the attack.
There's obviously a lot of this stuff is being very deliberately highlighted in the news media. There is a very big focus on this. We'll contrast it later with some of the stuff with the whole. I bet people have already forgotten the whole Brooklyn subway shooting thing.
Yep, and then at the same time, we've got here, what was this? This is the one you showed me. The
The
people at
Kiwi
Kiwi
Farms
Farms getting
one,
a big letter
yeah.
from the Australian
Australia.
government asking to
Threatening
remove.
them with fines and like using all this blustering language, like. like they have any jurisdiction over an American company. It's kind of funny, but it reminds me a lot of like a lot of the European data law, and especially German takedown notices a lot of people get trying to scare them into removing content. It's very similar to those.
All I'm saying is we're slowly ticking up the scale.
We are slowly ticking
slowly
up the scale.
Slowly ticking up the scale.
But what all this is in service of, obviously there's the gun control angle. That is so obvious. And there's actually now a body armor angle as well. They're very much going after civilian access to body armor, which is, again, a very...
They've been doing that in England for quite a while now. They do not like you having body armor over here. Can't quite stop you. They can't quite stop you, but they...
The thing is, having body armor in commission of a crime in New York State is already a crime. It was already illegal for him to have the... It's like illegal to have body armor and a loaded rifle without like reasonable excuse or something like that.
That's cheating. You can't do that.
Yeah, basically. The New York State already has laws against, you know, misuse of body armor. They don't have laws against it in the abstract. They might do quite soon, but of course the gun control and the body thing was obvious. But what is less obvious here is the way this is being used as a kind of the ratchet on the social media question. You know, in light of this tragedy, and it's only really be so long that places like, you know, Kiwi Farms has a luxury to thumb its nose at Australia because it's a bubble. It's not somewhere the normies go. It's a website that was ostensibly created to document Chris-chan. It's an outgrowth of the quickie. It's very much by that same sort of function,
it could also disappear very quickly without very many people missing it.
I was about to get to that. Yes, it's somewhere that can be lanced like a boil and excised, you know, drained like an abscess. In the same way that 8chan did in the wake of the 2016 election.
Because what I noticed, there was obviously that ADL one where they went direct for Telegram, but other people aren't mentioning Telegram. So I'm trying to wonder, like, is that the new place that you can funnel us all into?
It does seem to be the newest containment place, yes.
Not necessarily in the way that something like Parler or Getter or anything like that was, you know, very clearly like a data gathering exercise from the get-go, really, with the way it sprung up out of nowhere with quite a lot of support from people who we all knew couldn't be trusted anyway. I don't know, because there seems to be a massive influx of a lot of bot stuff going on in Telegram, but I suppose that's probably a different story for a different time.
It is, yes. I quickly rearranged this because it was in a bit of the wrong order.
Yeah.
But the other outgrowth we have directly from this before we move on to the background stuff, because we are doing pretty good with this. We have managed to get most of this out of the way in the first half hour. The other point to this is the bill that has been passed, ostensibly as a bill in a reaction, or it's been framed as a bill in reaction to this shooting. But it's a bill that's been brought off the shelf. It's a bill that was introduced and really went nowhere in 2019.
Can we start with the CNN one here? Yeah. The House passes bill to prevent domestic terrorism in the wake of the Buffalo mass shooting. So how are they going to prevent terrorism this time? Didn't work last time, throw more money at it?
They're creating a specific, even though the agencies themselves have remit over this, they're creating basically a DHS, FBI, an alphabet soup. They're creating a joint task force agency that specifically has remit to pursue quote-unquote domestic terrorism. Hand-in-hand with the Disinformation Center, they now have a victimizing American citizens essentially as Guantanamo Bay occupants ministry.
Well, yeah, it's the same as the covert demonstrations and something else squad that the Metropolitan Police had for a while to break up BNP and radical communist groups in South England.
Yes, it's also what was heavily used against people like the EDL when they existed.
Yes.
Although they were a bit more heavily guided We should probably do that at some point, but heavily guided by the UK glowies.
And later, interestingly, not the UK glowies, but other glowies.
Yes.
Because the EDL got an awful lot of funding from a certain country in the Middle East.
Yeah. House Democratic leaders had planned to bring an earlier version of the bill to the floor in April, but the effort was derailed after progressive members objected to the measure, which they said could be used to target civil rights activists or left-leaning groups. Make sure you write us out of first, please.
Yes, it's what this is. It is another
Yeah,
in the
because then
wake of this
they go on just
tragedy.
straight to say, we've worked out some of the concerns people have about civil liberties, which were legitimate concerns, and I think we've worked it out, and I think we will have agreement on that. I know what that means. Friend enemy. The
Yeah,
sub-thing.
basically, yes.
There's a little bit in been reading Imperium by Yawkey. There's a big bit in it where he's kind of just rehashing a lot of Schmitt, but he does point out that, the reflection of sovereignty is, of course, the ability to hold the monopoly of painting the inner enemy and using the
Yes,
political to do so.
that really what is what this is. It is the, well, really the third incarnation, but it's the latest incarnation of the American War on Terror coming home, because it's a much more long-running story than most of us realize. It's something that we kind of take for granted now, almost, that we live in this world of the inward-looking. War on Terror, that the that 9/11 first was turned outwards and then was turned inwards, but we also don't memorialize victims of shootings in the same way. Not all shooting victims are created equal.
No, they are not.
No. Oh. Yeah, very much so.
I know, Trick. As a resident old man.
Oh, no. Don't say
I'm sure
that.
you can tell us how different, rhetorically at least, things are from even the way they were in the 1990s when it comes to terrorism. Because I remember, when I was a teenager,
So just
that they
quickly
would be
for
used.
context. This is the HR 1931. That is the House bill that they then voted on, which is just a rehashed Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act from 2019. So when they talk about it in here being like, oh, well, it was, where did they put? Ba, 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 ba. Yeah, earlier version of the bill to the floor in April. That's a load of shit, because it's been presented to the floor probably two or three times prior to that.
Yes, it has.
And
It's
just like that,
they've
they pass
continuous.
it. Tick, tick, tick,
Yeah,
tick, tick,
like I
tick,
said,
tick, 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 tick.
it was unthinkable, unthinkable, unthinkable. But in the wake of this tragedy, yeah, it's the ratchet. It's the extraordinary event that short circuits the normal politics, in quotes, to create a situation in which extraordinary laws are passed and then they stay on the books forever. As I was saying, I remember as a teenager, the terrorist threat level used to be said on the news every night. They would say that the terrorist threat level has been changed from elevated to moderate or whatever. And this went on for years, especially in the wake of the July 7/7 bombings, in London. But that was something
Yeah.
that that'd be something that seems relatively abnormal now, because it's largely been replaced with the biological narratives and the climate narratives. But that was just normal back in 2007 in Britain. You would be daily told how scared to be of terrorism that day.
It was, you know what? It was normal from pretty much the moment the Twin Towers came down in on
Where are
in
you?
9/11,
Where are
etc. Yeah.
you? You?
Prior to that, though,
Oh, dear.
mass shooting events, things like the Dunblane massacre, things like the Michael Ryan incident, etc., in England, were very rare, and there was nothing in the 90s. Terrorism was almost a thing of the past, because if you go back further, you'd got the 80s, at which point you'd got the IRA phoning up, going, "There's a bomb in a car in this place," and everyone would freaking leg it, and the police would come in and they'd either find it or not, or somewhere else a car would go bang and a politician would get yeeted, or a pub would explode, or what have you. But I mean, the IRA were very, very active in the 80s. We weren't afraid of terrorism back. It was just, you know, some paddy's going to do something and it's going to hurt somebody at some point. But, you know, I can't tell you when and where. So just go and carry on with your day. Stiff up a lip, old chaps. It probably won't happen to you. So, you know, just carry on and regardless. You can't let them get to you. Then they win.
Yeah, it's extraordinary that Manchester City Centre essentially got forcibly remodeled. Was that 19? It was the very early 90s.
People in chat keep mentioning Louis Levy. I believe you did ask him earlier on in the week if he could make it.
I didn't get a response from him, unfortunately. I think he's probably quite a busy man at the moment.
Either that or he's still on the run.
Maybe, yes.
That's the real cover up.
I will try and get him on again at some point, guys. But no, he seems to be quite busy, so I'll leave him be for now. There's probably about 15 other people who've had the same idea, so he's probably bombarded with requests at the moment. But yeah, we shall try and move on because we have to.
Well, I was going to say there is like an anarcho tyranny angle to all of this. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Get that to.
What I was going to get to is give me the right global crisis and I'll give you the new world order.
Which order seems to have chaos. Taken... It was as.
Yeah, which just seems to have come in. 9/11, terror. Oh my god, people really react to this fear thing really well. Screw the stiff upper lip thing, guys. We can control the masses through scaring the living bejesus out of them by telling them to be afraid. It didn't work on my generation. My generation, because the, you know, those of us that grew up during the Cold War were literally told every day the bombs will drop from the sky, you'll all be turned into fucking, you know, atomic waste within seconds. Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. Eventually, you just go,
I've also seen When the Wind Blows, yes.
Yeah, eventually you just go, meh, I don't care. If it happens, it happens. Sod it. Yeah,
the but Gen X has become like the new silent generation.
Yeah, yeah, because you know,
they are missing in action.
Well, we're not afraid of it, but we're just carrying on regardless, by and large. Boomers are acting terrified as always. They always were terrified of it for some reason. My mum's generation.
That's what the Cold War did to them.
Yeah, they lived in terror, but the ones that actually grew up with it as small children just sort of went, meh, whatever, you know. Bring it, bring it. I hope I'm living next to Ground Zero, because at least then it'll be quick. And
that's much more a Gen X nihilist kind of attitude. That's why they aren't scared, because they just don't care. However,
that's there is the whole thing about them becoming basically the new silent generation. But the point I was trying to make previously before we got slightly sidetracked was the fact that not all murderers are created equal. If you look at the death toll of the Buffalo shooting, it's 10 people. I think, mm-hmm. Is that 10 people total or is that 10 people killed and wounded? I can't remember.
I think there's 11 wounded. Oh, maybe a couple more wounded. But yes, I think it's 10. 10 is the fatality total.
It's not quite a Cho Sung Wei, but...
There's a big sort of anarcho-tyranny angle to all of this, though, because we are told, we need to fight white supremacist terrorism, we need to fight right-wing extremism, blah 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 blah. And meanwhile, you know, Chicago weekend, 5 dead, 29 wounded, the most read articles next to unarmed 13-year-old boy shot and seriously wounded, gun goes off in school, students wounded. Then we've got another one here, 6 killed and 18 others wounded, including 12-year-old boy. So this, like, you're not supposed to give a shit about. Nor are you supposed to give a shit that's going to be very small on the screen. I'm not too sure if I want to zoom this in or not and ruin it. But it's just like a heat map of crime in Buffalo. And that big purple section right across there, that's right where that street is, where it all happened.
Yes.
So for them to portray this kind of event as like, oh, well, they've just, you know, he's come and ruined the peace. What fucking peace? There was no peace.
Buffalo, New York, is a, as we've talked about, is a city of 250,000 people in the entire greater metro area. That is the entire, that's not Buffalo proper, that's the entire metro area. And it has roughly 67 homicides and 60 specifically shooting homicides in an average year. And that has been relatively consistent since about 2008, from all the statistics that I can find. And that is roughly five a month. So that's more than one a week. So more than once a week, there is a shooting death in Buffalo, New
And that
York.
is only the ones that get reported. This is
Yes, where
always the
Buffalo
thing.
Soldier came from. Is this the
But
reality of it?
no, just like the very simple nature of the fact that you're pretty much almost one in three times, or sorry, you're almost three times more likely to be subject to a violent crime in Buffalo than you are anywhere else in New York State on average.
It is higher crime than 93% of all U.S. cities.
Which is
Damn.
hilarious. The fact they
Yes.
tout this is safer than 8% of US cities.
Yes.
So
Yeah.
it's in the least safe, like lower 10%.
There's only 7% of U.S. cities that have higher murder rates than Buffalo, which
Look,
is.
Chicago's worse, guys. I mean, what more do you want?
By the way, in
Oh.
Chicago, that's not 11 deaths and 47 wounded over 2 weeks. That's
That was a
two
weekend.
weekends.
Yeah.
That's four
Yes.
days.
I know, right?
That's four normal days in Chicago, a city with no gun stores. That's a
Well, there
nice
you
fact though
go.
for you.
This is the real thing, though, about this. Is not only is there more crime, but the crime is so dense. Crimes per square mile, 260 compared to the New York State fucking
Whoa.
average of 36. I mean, it is 10 times higher than the national median rate of like crime density. So how can you even begin to pretend that this peaceful, idyllic neighborhood where this horrible person just happened to do something that not one person in this neighborhood would think of doing?
This is the first time that a mass shooting of the gang variety in Buffalo would barely make like state level news, never mind national news. This is probably the first time that a large scale shooting event in Buffalo has moved the needle on a national scale in decades, if it ever has at all. This is really, on an aggregate sense, business as usual. You shoot a few people with a manifesto, and everyone goes crazy. It's very Dark Knight Joker speech, but it is somewhat true that this has been, as a tragic event, been singled out for this national narrative because there was a useful piece of paper which may or may not have been the idea of the shooter.
Meanwhile,
Yeah.
like the real race war between blacks and Asians and blacks and Jews
Latinos,
that is
yeah.
carrying out across Brooklyn and all sorts of other areas in the States gets completely ignored and covered up essentially.
Do we know that this manifesto is definitely his? Because you're right. The manifesto reads like a like it, well, it wouldn't surprise me if it was written in invisible ink and just appeared on a piece of paper straight afterwards. It glows so much.
It
Yeah,
is basically a laundry list of desirable aspects.
the
So,
CIA
yeah.
agent peed on the piece of paper and all 180 pages of it were right there. 180 pages! The guy was too busy, like, jacking it to furry porn to be writing 180 pages, which is why it's all copy and pasted out of the bloody Christchurch one.
It is, and there's also, like I said, a massive shopping list of things the ATF wants to ban in it. In very clunky language that
I think I might
no.
actually have the image for that. I can put that up in a second. However, I want to put
It's
another image up
so.
first
It's
because I find
so
it funny.
bizarre. The way it's phrased, the way it's written, the amount of pages just dedicated to. It's not even listing gear in a way that someone who is a genuine firearms enthusiast. Yeah, that's pretty good. In a way that a genuine firearms enthusiast would list
I'll
gear.
handle them, Martha.
It lists gear in the way that it's such a banger, that image, in it. The one about Tomato Town's pretty good as well.
Wait, right, I've got the. Ba, 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 ba,
You must
ba.
wipe out Tomato Town.
Do it for Trump. Do it for
Yes.
I don't know, Matt Gaetz or some middling GOP figure. He radicalized me. See,
I
this is
was
the thing I
radicalized
don't
by two.
get. Just before we get on to the gun thing, because it's interesting in and of itself, but something I've been trying to say to a lot of people, you know, we don't necessarily have to go down the lines of it's all fed up. I think what makes most sense, given what we've seen so far, is that he was somebody who was genuinely mentally ill, and people online who have otherwise agendas offered him all this stuff that he could basically just use as a cannon to glorify himself as like a psycho. He is not someone who acted in an effort to forward a right-wing agenda of any form.
No.
And it's I think that can be obvious from the fact that if you were going to do that, surely the first thing you would do is cloak yourself in the symbols of leftism. I mean, why was he not running around that store where he's like M4 painted like the trans flag, with like you know BLM patches all over him, and you know go and shoot up a I'm not even going to say the word for the place of worship because I think saying shooting that word in the same place might get us in trouble. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, like, go do it for the Palestinian solidarity. Don't do it for, Uncle H. That would seem to me like a really effective strategy, not for forwarding and pushing forward right wing ideas into the mainstream in a, you know, illegitimate form, which is what this is doing. Instead, actually forward right wing objectives in the real world, which this wasn't going to do at all. He could just dress up like a furry, someone's seen in chat. Yeah, but then he could just as easily be a trad cath. So,
there is a lot of crossover there, it seems.
yeah, but you know, this is very interesting. You unthreaded muzzle. He's talking about how these are one of the things I dislike about this gun. And he starts talking about all the specifics and the numbers, and he's pricing it all. As you said, it's like the Fed shopping list. You will see an article at some point in the next week or two from one outlet or another. It essentially says, like, do you know
He
someone could buy
lists.
all this gear for like $1,100?
I went through it. Apart from bayonet lugs, he lists in the same language every single feature that is named in the Federal Assault Weapons Ban of 1994. The itemized
The
is
ghost of
much longer.
Reagan. Where's that image when we need it?
Oh, it's really the ghost of Clinton, but it only, you know, he set the ball rolling. Mr. Imports Ban, Mr. 86 Machine Gun Ban. Most conservative president in the last 4 decades, guys. Reagan, as a whole thing in of itself. But it serves, like I said, it's a shopping list in exactly the same language. Which, again, it could be some kind of 4D chess, but this guy doesn't—he honestly doesn't strike me as intelligent enough. That's all I would say on that. But there is a whole other angle to this. I'm going to try and cover this as briefly as possible, but all of this that we're seeing now finds its roots in the narratives of the anti-militia movement of the early 90s, in the first of all in the Bush senior era, and then accelerated in the Clinton era
Let me
at
get
the end
the
of the Cold.
three of these up in the order they're in the document. So there's the ABC one,
There
LA
is, yes.
Times, and then Independent.
It's the LA Times first, and then the ABC, then the Independent.
Cool, right.
Because I'm going to go in chronological order here. But one of the most lasting events of this entire kind of side of news narrative is Ruby Ridge. Because Ruby Ridge, I think it really is the defining moment in the American militia movement. And it's also the defining moment in the FBI and the ATF stepping up their remit from basically being glorified ghetto janitors through the 80s with the war on drugs into being the arbiters of acceptable political thought in America.
Yeah, this is actually hilarious. Undercover informer for the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told a Senate subcommittee Friday that white separatists, this they didn't call him a white supremacist for once, Randy Weaver took the initiative in selling him two illegal sawed-off shotguns that the Federal Firearms dude asked them to make, starting a series of events that led to the bloody 1992 shootout and the siege at Weaver's cabin in which three people were killed. They basically try to blame him for it when I think, is it not pretty much clear now that we all understand that he was pretty much talked into doing it?
There's some great stuff in here. Basically, this informant had been badgering him for 3 years.
Kenneth Fadley.
Yes, to sell him shotguns. We don't know if the shotguns were sawed off when he sold them to him. That was never established. The firearms charges, by the way, Weaver was cleared of. The only thing Weaver served time for was missing a court date. He was never convicted of anything apart from basically contempt of court, because he missed the court date because he was holding up in his home, basically waiting for the feds to come and get him, which they were going to do. If you haven't studied it, certainly the history of Ruby Ridge, because it is extraordinary. It's extraordinary what happened there. But one of the most enduring facts of it is that Randy Weaver, the entire siege was caused by a federal informant who had been informing on Weaver for 3 years essentially because of his belief system. He wasn't even a particularly active member of, the accused of being a member of the Aryan Nation. He'd been to a couple of meetings out of curiosity and had what they referred to as expressed anti-government sentiment. And that was seen as the pretext to fill his life with federal informants who were paid basically by the crimes they could accuse him of. And there's a great bit here where he says that he misspoke in court, which basically means he committed perjury.
God, the bloody Dianne Feinstein
Yes.
is involved in this.
Senator Arlene Specter, the subcommittee chair and the GOP president hopeful, noted that Friday that Fadley had testified in federal court 2 years ago that he had assumed his informant payments from the ATF would be greater if Weaver were convicted of selling illegal weapons. Fadley said he had misspoken in court.
Yeah, because then it goes on to say further down here, but asked by senators to characterize Weaver as he claimed to know people call a proponent of racism, hate towards minority and individuals, blah blah blah, would be very violent towards those individuals and towards the United States. So he's an American. ATF Director John M. McGaw, who followed Fadley as a subcommittee witness, said the informant was paid more than $5,000 for his work on Weaver's case, but McGaw insisted no informer ever gets a bonus if the information leads to a conviction.
That is complete lies. That is what I think was actually found to be policy at the time. But for those of you who don't know, the Ruby Ridge siege was triggered by a federal informant who, on very shaky grounds, on grounds that didn't hold up in court, accused Franny Weaver of selling him 2 sawed-off shotguns, which he was found to have initiated the sale of, therefore attempting to entrap Randy Weaver, who I will once again say was never committed of a crime apart from failing to meet one of his court dates. And it is a narrative. His status as a white supremacist is used as a cudgel to beat his name with in the news. There's an article from 2017 at ABC here that I'll go through in a spec. Trig, out of curiosity, did Ruby Ridge get any coverage here in the UK that you remember of, really?
Oh, a little, but it was very, oh, this happened, white nationalists, etc. There was no deep dive, there was no in-depth. It was just, this has happened, bunch of people were, killed. Not really anything. It barely, when was it exactly? When was Ruby Ridge? It was
1992.
92. Just trying to think. I mean, this is an unfortunate period of time where I did not have my eye particularly on the ball because I was too busy being at university and enjoying all of the things that involved in the evening. And I wasn't really totally engaged with what was going off at the time.
Oh
But
God, yeah, I've noticed what they're doing. Yeah, public protest by self-declared white supremacists, which is the Aryan Nation, that's basically showing up to try and check on Randy Weaver and see if he was all right because they saw all the ATF vans. Because I remember
yes.
some of this footage, there was other stuff that actually paints all the protesters in a really good light because they're like just trying to ask the police like, what's going on up there? Like, just tell us. And they're like, no, we won't tell you. Yeah, public protest by self-declared white supremacists, criticisms of how police handled a violent standoff, 3 deaths. These events recall last week's outbursts in Charlottesville, Virginia, but actually describe a 25-year-old incident in the forested region of northern Idaho, about 40 miles south of the Canadian border.
This was an incident, by the way, in which the ATF murdered a 14-year-old boy after shooting his dogs in front of him.
And also shooting Randy Weaver's wife and killing her as
killed,
well.
They killed Randy Weaver's pregnant wife and they killed his mother. If I remember correctly. No, sorry. They killed Randy Weaver's wife, a pregnant wife. And I think she was shot basically through him, but he survived.
Mm.
It's a harrowing story about what happened there. And he was actually awarded a $1.1 million settlement for the wrongful death of both his son and his wife. Mm. So Randy Weaver was vindicated in court twice, basically. They can paint him as a white supremacist all they want.
I'm sure that money went a long way to making him feel loads better about that.
Well, but it's still amazing, though, that we have this, you know, trying to link it to Charlottesville, describing him as an Aryan nation, you know, the white evil white supremacist that galvanized all these people. After
I'm
the
sorry
federal
we
government.
Shot your son, your dog, and your pregnant wife. Here, have some loose change from the government.
But the story is still white supremacist siege. The story is never government wrongfully murders three people as upheld by the courts. And that's something I wanted to, you know, really hammer home to people that this, no matter what happens, no matter who is in the right or in the wrong, this will be the narrative. And this is a pre-made narrative. And no matter what you do, no matter how you grovel, and no matter how you try and play, you know, play their game, play your optics, essentially, they will always, to quote Mr. Peter Quinnis's latest article, they will always Randy Weaver your ass.
Mm-hmm. No Albert Drydens, no David Koresh's, and no Randy Weavers. You will not declare yourself sovereign, and you will not decide this exception on your own lands.
Yeah. You can grill
well, not,
yeah,
not for us.
You can build
one
your
thing,
sorry,
one thing on. Mr. Quinnis's article was wrong about is we do already live in Ancapistan, but you just have to have enough money to be there.
Not so much.
If you're Elon Musk, if you are Bezos, you are living in Ancapistan. You are flying where you want, you are doing pretty much what you want.
It certainly didn't help John McAfee.
John McAfee ran out of money.
Well, yeah, because they ran him out of money.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they ran him out of town, and then ran him out of money, and then ran him out of life.
Yeah.
So, yes, my optics. But he's, Mr. Quinnis's, Quinones, I never know how to say it. But Mr. Quinoa's
anything you're still boxy. Wanting out of this ABC article here? I've just realised how long it is.
No. The last thing I wanted to go over, really, before we move on to some of the other context stuff, because there's a lot more, is the fact that this is very prescient, because Randy Weaver died 6 days ago. and there was very little news about it. I didn't know until I was re-researching all this stuff. But yeah, Randy Weaver died this week.
No, I saw some people, shall we say, reporting it on a Telegram.
I've been quite busy, so I
yeah,
that,
no, exactly.
Yeah.
Can you believe these evil separatist terrorists who are just living in the rural woods menacingly? Yeah, they want to be left alone in such a menacing fashion. It's unbelievable. No exit.
He's described as a radical. The most radical thing that Randy Weaver did was refuse to become a federal agent, at which time they resolved to murder his entire family for doing that.
Yep, you won't join the Aryan Nations and become an informant for us, so you must be cut loose. Because if you were able to tell the story fully of how you've been approached, people would maybe see what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And again, it's the same way that it was then treated with Waco and David Koresh. That was every single different right wing thing until they got it all over with, burnt it down, and then basically hid it all away by tapping into the narrative and making sure it was always mentioned in accordance with Ruby Ridge, always mentioned in accordance with either white separatism or white nationalism, or as you said, they're building this sort of canon so that as and when is needed, they can tie basically any event to this narrative and be like, oh, look, you know, it's white nationalist terrorism on the rise again.
Oh, what we are building here is a canon of the involvement of federal informants, though.
This is,
The Ruby Ridge
well,
Seas.
see, this is the thing. We can build one by just looking at the other.
Yes.
Hmm.
The entire point here is to go into, we don't know the specifics of what happened with the Buffalo case, but in when the dirty laundry comes out about every single case like it, you see that it's feds all the way down. And the biggest, most recent case of that, which I think we kind of need to go re-go over, we've been over it on the stream before, is the Whitmer case, the Michigan kidnapping. Because this, I don't know how they
Is this
managed to do
the
it, being a BuzzFeed
BuzzFeed one you're
article.
wanting here?
Because there's bits from it we didn't read previously, but this BuzzFeed article in relation to the use of federal informants is scathing. I'm still continuously amazed by it. And there's a section I just want to read verbatim because it is so good. It's so good.
Notice this was, you know, the closing of this was around April, earlier in the year when they were gonna, you know, launch that bill and stuff. And
Yeah.
where
This
you want
was
to go from in here?
it's a part that says their statements. It's quite far down, unfortunately. It's also in the document. It's the bit that's in the document, but yeah, this was meant to be, I think, the event that triggered the passing of the other bill. But they, as it's described, we described earlier on a previous stream about how they stacked the deck in this case, about how they managed to stack the prosecution so heavily in their favor, but still managed to lose because what they were saying was so incredulous, and their witnesses were so blundering and incompetent, they managed to essentially destroy their own case with their own evidence. Because all of the evidence that was brought by the defense was in fact denied in court. These people were railroaded. I think I quoted earlier, it reminds me of the whole Hillary Clinton losing in 2016 thing, and my favorite
Yes.
comment of the night being some Hotep dude going, bitch, how do you lose a rigged election? Which is such a wonderful quote.
Yeah, no, I found the section you were looking for.
Yes. Yeah, talking about the fact that they'd had a lot of, you know, let's say Fed posty talk. Their statements, however nasty they might sound, were just talk, the defense said, and therefore protected by the First Amendment. To the degree that there was any actual plan to kidnap Whitmer, they said, it was the FBI that had cooked it up, while the government's minions, as many as a dozen confidential informants, lured the defendants into half-heartedly playing along. So that's four defendants, one of which may or may not have been an informant themselves, and a dozen federal agents and informants. They said it was a case of entrapment, and they had hundreds of recordings, text messages, and Facebook posts that would shine a very different light on the government's narrative. They included exhibits showing informants smoking cannabis with the defendants, plying them with offers of cash, and working them up into a lather with anti-government talk of their own. There was evidence of informants and FBI agents discussing ways to lure more suspects into the case, and extensive audio of defendants discussing absurd schemes involving stolen Black Hawk helicopters, 300 strong armies, we know that's a reference to, and newly minted silver currencies that the defense believed showed the men were simply fantasizing. So basically, the normal kind of like chat that goes on in these circles was recorded, recontextualized, a whole bunch of informants were paid to say there was a kidnapping plot, and they just ran with it. And they were hoping that they could throw enough of the defense's evidence out of court to secure a conviction. But fortunately, they bungled it. They were so overconfident and bungled it so greatly that we have here BuzzFeed taking them to pieces in an article that is. It is there's so much of this. We read some of it previously, but this is
See,
it's
this
just
gets
it's
to the
such a clear
point where it
picture of it.
starts to get so so obvious that it makes me begin to think that, like, maybe they're getting out on the long game so that when maybe certain people do go out and commit what might be referred to as direct action, large sections of us will go, "No, it's feds. Don't believe in
No, I just think this was really
it."
the way that they stacked the evidence. This really was an attempt to have these people essentially be disappeared by the court system, and to have them buried in this mountain of evidence, in quotes, that they've managed to essentially bring out of thin air, because the demand for white supremacist terrorism is far, far higher than the supply.
Indeed, it is. It's almost that they would need to have a model by which to manufacture them by, or something like that.
Yes, it's you can see the through line here through things like Ruby Ridge, through the Whitmore, and through into a lot of these other cases with these, supposed lone wolf terrorists bringing out the same rhetoric, the same cannon, pulling on the same boogeyman. It's very, very likely that there was at least people who were federal informants and agents involved in the quote unquote grooming of this person. There is too much of a through line, and in every case where we find, what are supposed to be these genuine white separatists, all we find are in fact nests of federal agents pumping them full of all of this frankly ridiculous rhetoric that nobody really believes unless they are, like this person seemed to be, genuinely mentally ill.
Well, it's not even that no one genuinely, it's like so much of it was just nonsense as well. I mean, there was like a part of the manifesto where he went on at length about how, well, I support LGB, but I've got to drop the T because that's a mental illness. Like, that seems to me that, it's trying to have a little bit of something to argue about for everyone.
Well, he didn't even say that he hates
God.
trans people. He basically came out as a trans medicalist,
I
which is
just noticed some
funny.
of the chats, like there is, must be, you must be from Buffalo, because there's just like there is like a dozen messages from this person, like retard stats, come on man, not true, safe city, cope, you live in a shithole.
These are the stats from Buffalo PD.
Yeah, so these are probably about half as bad as it actually is.
Like the I'm sorry, but these are the official crime statistics for Buffalo, New York. I'm sorry. Who is this person, and why are they? I don't think a rate is that high comparative amongst. It is. It's higher than 97% of all U.S. cities.
I know, like 50 homicides a year is a lot.
Not 50, 67.
Well, exactly. 50 is a lot. 67 is even more. I mean, London, I don't think, comparatively, rate-wise, touches that.
Nowhere near per capital, per capital, per capita. It touches that. I'm sorry, but we have to defer to our inner empiricoid and say that the science of Buffalo being a ghetto shithole full of gangbanger murders is has been fact checked
Well,
and been
that's
found true.
Rob saying in chat, certain street and certain hoods, and exactly that's kind of the point we're making earlier on, that the density of the crime there is, ridiculous, especially in that street. Is it Roosevelt or whatever it is street? It's slap bang in the middle of this, essentially like hub of crime and one of the most densest crime hubs in the US. So did all this stuff about it was so peaceful and people have never seen this before. Ugh. It's the shit and the ignorance that people have that they just play on constantly.
I don't know, maybe we've been keyworded for saying Buffalo too many times. But there's another thing I wanted to compare this to, briefly, is the disappearing of both the Vegas shooter and
Yes.
the Brooklyn subway shooter. And that we
Yes.
have these news events like the Randy Weavers, shit, what was the guy with the bowl cut called, who shot up that
Dylan
church?
Roof.
Yeah, Dylan, like the Dylan
Yes.
Roofs of this world. These weird, the prototypical, basically the cartoon character, white shooter, in quotes, who goes after a meaningless target of nobodies, who is pumped up through large amounts of what we can see is glowy derived rhetoric.
It's
Whether or not they are deliberately or directly or indirectly steered by them is slightly beside the point. Basically, the entire American quote unquote white supremacist movement, and in a sense, many of the global aspects of it, as we'll get onto a little bit
Yeah,
later,
buffer
are
glow.
affectations of the American intelligence state, because very much like they did with Islamists in Afghanistan in the 80s, they create their own enemies and fund their own enemies, nurture their own enemies, so they can turn around and justify the increasing of power later to fight their own enemies, to
Yeah.
fight these buffer glow. That's pretty good. To
I
fight these
wish
enemies, because
I could find the document. I was looking at something the other day. In fact, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Before this happened, I was looking at something about it was a spin-off from the MK Ultra and everything else, which was a how do we control and get rid of the Second Amendment? And they'd come to the conclusion that the best way to do that was to make huge amounts of weapons available for the mentally ill and the criminally minded to drive up and ignore, well, sort of drive up mental illness and ignore mental illness in armed sort of people at school to essentially create school shootings, and to use that as a method to get rid of the Second Amendment to drive the public opinion, essentially again referencing things that had happened in England, like the Dunblane shooting and various other things, the Michael Ryan incident, as I mentioned earlier, basically ended gun rights in the UK. And they'd seen these things happen and gone, okay, we can further that by pushing a little bit in the right direction here, pushing, making these sorts of things available over there. And whether
I'm
or not I'm
reminded.
reading more conspiracy theory
No,
nonsense,
you're
and
there.
I'm trying to remember the name of the damn project because I've got a feeling it's Project Orion. But if you look at Project Orion, that is just nuclear propulsion systems from
A
the
good
1950s.
example of what you're talking about is the Fast and Furious project. And letting the gun walk is a huge for those of you who don't know, the federal government in California actually explicitly authorized by President Obama, because it was one of his weird flagship programs of crime fighting, was this Fast and Furious project. They were pumping American semi-automatic and even automatic arms into Mexico and trying to see what washed back over the border as some harebrained, supposedly crime-fighting scheme of, oh, well, we'll just track where the guns go. Hundreds of firearms are
That'll
allowed
go
to
swimmingly.
walk. Yeah, hundreds of firearms are allowed to quote unquote walk during this. They called it gun walking. And essentially, it was the federal government providing the cartel with, this is the only ones we know about, with masses of weapons that would then find their way back over the border and contribute to US gun crime with, illegal weapons. And they could create these problems for themselves. That's a great example, because as a crime fighting strategy, that makes no fucking s it's so far beyond retarded. It stretches and then breaks plausibility.
It does. I mean, it is these are all spin-offs from PsyOps that is, essentially came from MK Ultra and various other things. Incidentally, recently, have you seen the amount of misinformation about MK Ultra that has been coming out lately about
So that's
how
a limited
MK Ultra
hangouts for you.
backfired completely and actually created free thinking liberals of the 60s and 70s, and it was yes, it happened, but actually it was a complete backfire and nothing came of it at all. I was like, no, you're just admitting to bits of it. You're doing the same shit again, essentially.
That's insane. It's the limited hangout every time.
It's making me feel like I'm going crazy.
It's well, the big thing about the Las Vegas shooting is that it is the I think it is it the single deadliest shooting in
Yeah.
American history.
Yes, I think so.
I mean, he
After
blew.
Pulse. So certainly, as far as shootings done by Americans on American soil at other Americans, yes, I mean that certainly there have been military
No,
incidents where more, but
his kill count is higher than Pulse.
that's what I said. So,
Yeah.
Pulse is second to it. I
Yes,
forgot
yes,
that. I
yes.
don't know if I got that the wrong way around.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, it's he does how many did oh, that's school shootings, isn't it, with Cho Sung-hui, Hammerman.
Oh, so it
He
means
yeah he
you get to ignore that one time, like the FBI bombed a whole district in, I think it was
yeah
either
they bombed the city block. Yeah.
Cleveland or something like that, and killed God knows how many people. But hey, we'll gloss over that.
Yeah, Buffalo is a city of 250,000 people. That was the population in 2020. So, yeah, 250,000 people, basically a murder a day.
That's a question. Did Uncle Ted come out of MKUltra? That rings a
Oh, murder a day.
bell.
So
I
basically,
don't.
murder a week. Sorry, more than a murder a week. Yeah, Buffalo is the second city in the U.S. for arson.
What's number
Safe city, you
one?
guys.
What's number one? That's what I want to know.
Taking a rough guess, Chicago.
Nah, it'll be somewhere weird in like the slightly further south. Detroit. Nah, that makes
Detroit,
sense.
of
That. That's just
course,
to keep
yeah.
everyone warm, mind.
I'm gonna say Detroit, like that's being nice in Detroit. There's so many empty lots there. You're doing the demolition crew's job for them.
Yeah, you're
I don't know
returning it
who
all
this
to
person is
nature.
trying to be like. No, it is less safe than 93% of American cities. There is no arguing that Buffalo is a nice, safe place. It is ridiculous to say so. Anyway, yeah, the Vegas shooting it's the single most deadly shooting in American history. It is an extraordinary attack from an elevated position on a live concert. So much about it is extraordinary, and it was this amazing headline story for maybe 2 weeks, and then it disappeared off the face of the earth because so much about it was incongruous. When the hotel security was asked how the man managed to set up and continue firing for 11 minutes, the cadence of the weapons, none of it made sense. And
Oh,
be
yeah.
because none of it made sense, it was nixed from the news because it achieved its goals very quickly. As we talked about on the Ghost Gun stream, it allowed the ATF to become the de facto defining force of what is and isn't both a machine gun and a firearm. In one fell swoop, it became the arbiter, it became judge, jury, and executioner of US firearms law without a single law or clarification or executive order even having to be
All that
passed.
was required was the state of exception.
Yes. And once its state of exception got, achieved its goal, the story was nixed. The single biggest mass shooting in American history, the investigation was closed after less than 2 years, and no motive was ever found. There are cases still open of murders longer than that. They keep high profile cases open sometimes for decades. I mean, look at Madeleine McCann, for Christ's sake. The death of 58 people, if you believe the narrative, slaughtered from an elevated position using a bump stock of all things.
Bump stock.
Those of you who've ever, there's not many people who've shot a bump stock because bump stocks are impractical. They're weird, gimpy range toys. They're jam machines.
How did the 64-year-old man that was not described as any to anyone as in shape at all and didn't look in shape by any great means pump what 400 or 500 pounds worth of gear up and down freight elevators and then remove a hurricane graded like window?
Yeah, he didn't shoot through the window, he removed it.
You would think
But
those windows probably can't be removed from the inside. For
no.
the sake of like removing them and servicing them easier, they would all be mounted on the outside. It is, yeah. Vegas does
Maybe.
your head in, but
Oh, Vegas is mad. I remember listening to they'd got videos that were on YouTube of literally sort of forensics experts who were literally sort of worked for the military and so on, acoustics experts going, no, This is all screwed up. I've listened to the shooting. I've listened to the hits, the bullet hits. I've listened to this, that, and the other. There was at least two calibers of rifle being used. They were being used at the same time. Bullets are landing at different rates. From you hear the pop, and then you hear the bullet landing, and then you're hearing others firing. So you've got different bullet velocities. And then 2 weeks later, those videos are gone. That channel is gone. Nothing left. Anybody that went against the any type of narrative on there that got any sort of type of traction, gone, disappeared immediately. I wish I'd been me back then, because I'd have been backing those videos up and you know, occasionally busting them out onto random channels. Because there was really solid stuff. Yeah. Really solid stuff. Really, really interesting stuff that basically led it to, it was like, no, this is, you know, I am a military forensic, you know, audio expert and this, that, and the other. And there was at least two sets of shooters, probably four men in total, if not more, kind of sort of summations from different positions.
I'm trying to find it. I have some files somewhere backed up, which showed that Stephen Paddock at some point actually did own a registered machine gun, which he chose not to use during the Vegas shooting. Instead, electing to use
that'd have been too heavy.
Stock. Well, yeah, I mean, I would use a bump stock instead of an actual machine gun for something like that, of course, because a bump stock is clearly far more controlled. I give up. Bumps. The way a bump stock works is so ridiculous. It's got to be a good giggle. But it's going to be all over the freaking shop. It's going to be like fully automatic and then some.
It's not. For those of you who know how firearms operate, what happens with a lot of bump stocks is that they overrun.
Yeah.
They reciprocate too fast, and your hammer ends up following the bolt home, and your weapon goes into battery like it has been...
Because it's not an open bolt gun, so it's not designed to be. It's not, the bolt is not designed to free float. And once you fire the weapon so many times that the bolt starts to free float, it catches itself. It's a safety mechanism.
Well, the hammer follows the bolt home, and it has no more inertia. It has no more spring pressure. There's no more spring pressure on the hammer, and it can no longer fire. The weapon is essentially in a state like it hasn't been racked, like it hasn't been charged. So that's what happens a lot with bump stocks. They also create a lot of malfunctions. They create a lot of jams because the firearm is firing at a rate and at a cadence it is not designed to. Not to get too far into the weeds here, but it's amazing that story was just sent off the face of the earth. We talked about the Brooklyn shooter as well, which you won't have heard of now that that's all been swept under the rug, even though he was some weird black separatist, and he may have actually been some sort of rogue actor, because it doesn't seem like this has been factored into the narrative, really. It has just gone away. I think the last thing I really want to talk about, though, was actually something to do with the Christchurch shooting, because there's a little bit of kind of watching the media argue with itself as the new narrative comes out. It's funny. If you Google the words Christchurch shooter Azov, the first result is this article by the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, which is the most NGO name I have ever heard. It's quite, yeah, it's quite funny. But they're an NGO charity. They are basically some pro democracy website which tries to debunk right wing conspiracy theories. You know, they're
promoting
trying to debunk
Great Reset conspiracy narratives. The Great Reset conspiracy in Australia. Is this then basically just being like, yep, there's no link between Azov Battalion and the Buffalo shooter. No need to look. Don't go looking. Please don't.
And then we have the well-known white supremacist outlet, ABC News, in 2019, talking about the link between the Christchurch shooter and the 8th Battalion.
Well, something I want to mention is that I think people, there was a brief thing reported about how some of the people that favorite of some of the suspicious folk on Telegram, Patriot Front, some of their top flight members went over to meet members of Azov Battalion in Ukraine, and they supposedly went over and just learned some MMA moves. So you don't need to be worried about that, and you definitely don't need to be worried about what that's going to cause in the American right-wing scene, with it being connected to NATO-funded neo-Nazi groups in Ukraine.
Yes, it's interesting. It's interesting that especially the Christchurch shooter and the Buffalo shooter had definite links in terms of, where their allegiances supposedly lay, their insignias, their supposed ideology is this NATO soup, I'll call it, of strategic, like, gay Nazism, in which they bring out all this soup of not quite their talking points to have what are essentially in Ukraine regime acceptable Nazis, which is not a phrase I thought I would say, but it's something that seems rather inevitable now thinking of it. It's like, why didn't I think this was possible?
Yeah, you've got to have the regime sanctioned National Socialism.
It reminds me of the Sabot, what was the Saboteur group called in West Germany and Italy that was made up of former, explicitly made up of former fascists.
Is it Gladio? The
You're thinking of
stay behind force.
yes. I don't know. I remember when the Christchurch thing happened, and there was a whole bunch of media outlets jumping on the fact that he had a, an association with the and had expressed admiration for the Azov Battalion.
No, didn't he have the Christchurch shooting? That was the one.
New
I don't
Zealand.
remember. Yeah, that's right. I was just remembering because he had co-conspirators that were never tracked down, didn't he?
God, who is this in the chat? It's not
You
an
also spent.
actual neo-Nazi group. Their ideological part calls for things like decentralization, local decision making, and such. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Bruh.
And tell me again why they wear the black sun.
Why the spicy windmill sun, my dudes? Why all the National Socialist rhetoric? Why all the 1488 HHs, my dude? It's like the I need to find that. I don't actually know if I have it on here or not. It's like Lenny with the cow college. It's like, you're only calling us a Nazi regiment because we were founded by a Nazi.
Yeah, someone's got the right idea. And ISIS aren't an actual terrorism group, they're just a communications organization.
Oh, I can't
I
find
remember
it.
I remember
They're
a Pakistan.
a farmer's insurance board.
I remember a Pakistani friend of mine. I won't mention her name, but she, nice lass. She hated ISIS. She's always calling it Islamic, sorry, Israeli State Intelligence Service. a little closer to home than she might have realized. But yeah, no, she was not a fan.
You're just calling us a cow college because we were founded by a cow. I can't find my meme now, but it rest assured it was a good meme. Oh, dear.
No, it's just, it is hilarious that as much as it is supposedly verboten, like national socialism, white nationalism, as you said earlier on, there isn't enough supply of it to actually keep up with the demand they want in media. So they're just gonna have to like make it up and make it look as if it exists.
Yeah.
And to what extent they are willing to act in regards to making it look like it exists, we could talk about that probably all day.
We could do, yes. But there's, I think we've given people enough of a through line here to show them that largely when you see incidents like this, and when you see supposedly sincere ideology like this, it's very, very likely to either be directly or indirectly just feds all the way down. You know, the remember Randy Weaver, remember Buffalo, and remember the hilarious collapse of the Michigan trial.
Remember Waco. Remember all sorts of events that you were supposed to forget or only remember as in a certain form.
Remember Tuskegee experiments? Just remember that the US government and other governments in history do really shitty things to their own people
Yeah.
all the fucking
I
time.
do even
And
think
to
it's.
think that they've stopped, you know, if you think they've stopped, I've got some real estate on the moon to sell you. It's as simple as that. They are always going to do shit things to you and then tell you it's you doing it to yourself,
Well, I think it's.
you being the
I think
people.
some of this stuff goes above just government. I think that a lot of it is. Is politics in the sort of Schmittian sense, but insofar as it's unleashed publicly across everyone, it's totalizing and it is all of society, and it is well past the point now whereby it's just the articles of state that wander around and set this stuff up and then smash it when they feel free. There is so many other different sort of factions or groups or private organizations or all sorts of different things are all connected to this. So as much as you're right, governments do shitty things. I think we need to take away the fact that there is, even within the government, there is an own its own subset of elite actors and shadowy people.
Oh yeah, and there's people operating above governments, you know, the supranationals, shall we say, that are operating people within governments that do. Yes, when I say governments, perhaps we're better off saying people, untouchable people in power.
The
And
elites.
can I
The
just say,
elite.
I'm gutted. Sexychat.xyz adult dating site. I was looking forward to checking that out later.
We do be getting the spam though.
We seem to have pissed somebody off, yeah.
We get that one a lot recently. That always seems to show up after a certain point.
It does, but we always catch it, so.
Is there, I don't know, is there anything else about this we're needing to go over?
Not really. I think we've done it in quite a lean fashion. I'm trying to think if there's anything we missed here. We got a couple minutes left. Is there anything you guys have thought of in relation to this you didn't get time to say, or?
Well, I think we can continue to look at it through the whole sort of Schmidt angle. The as you were saying before, the exceptional state of white nationalist terrorism is still on the rise and will continue to be so until the powers that be say it's not much as you mentioned before when they used to have like the terror threats at red now that the 7/7 bombings have happened and they reported it every day on the 6 o'clock news. Boom, boom, you'd have the clock fucking going with a this just in terror threats.
Yeah, you'd
Now
have Big
a
Ben's
high
bong swinging out
danger
forever.
or level red or and it is that we are in the state of the exception, therefore we as the sovereign powers will do as we please.
Yep, and you've got a whole bunch of people running around going, "Oh, should I be afraid of Muslims because they're terrorists, or terrorists are Muslims?" And then other people going, "Yes, but you can't say that because that makes you racist."
Well,
And everyone was just tied up in a big, you know, every, yeah, 2007 onwards, everyone was in a gigantic knot in the UK as to whether or not they were allowed to be racist or phobic, or whether they
I
should be.
do
They're
some
being
think.
told one thing, they were being told another thing. The two contradicted each other, and it was kind of the beginning. Well, we were actually well into it at that point because, as I said, it started in 2001. But
No, I'm just noticing
drive
Rob in the
yourself
chat
crazy.
saying, How to detect glow, what to watch for would be a good topic to spend time on. Possibly, however, I would suggest that that's not, you don't detect it because you read it rationally. You feel stuff like that. At least when
We could
I
go over
when I've always
we could go
found
over some
people
of
to
the
be
old lore.
suspicious or stuff has been weird and then gone and happened, there is normally always an inkling or some kind of sense prior to that this individual is not as authentic as they try to make themselves out.
You have to detect the glow, you must rely on your Unga Bunga brain.
Yeah, aye.
You must channel your inner schizo as well. You as we have in the thumbnail, you must channel your inner Terry.
Well, this
You
is
must
this
be
not what
able to.
all the CoinTel Pro stuff's all about anyway? It's trying to spot feds and I don't know. Maybe that's something we could go and look at some point. However, I'd much rather get cracked into that Surveillance Valley one that I posted in the Telegram the other day.
Yes, that'd be good. There's a concept I'm reminded of when you talk about detecting, genuine actors, and it's relatively simple in these circles because there's quite a long through line from some of the better aspects of the 4chan days. But back on the Chans, there was a concept that was called the Skinwalker, which is you can always detect somebody who is not properly immersed in that culture because there are so many layers of shibboleth there. Bringing out that term again, there's so many layers of like handshaking and irony and an obscure ceremony that somebody pretending to do it immediately comes off in an uncanny valley. And having all of those weird rituals and having all of that weird lore and having it be such a steeped community with its own language was a great way of it defending itself and a great way of weeding out people who were not genuine actors. Because you can't, to be that immersed, you have to be that immersed. You can't fake it. And I think there are areas of the newer Distant Rite that have inherited that brilliance, really. That you have to understand the literature, not only understand it, but internalize it in many ways to be able to speak the language and carry on conversations properly. Otherwise, you stick out like a sore thumb and you will never be brought into any kind of inner circle,
No.
which is one of the best defense mechanisms any community can ever have, is having its own culture that is very hard to ape.
Yeah, basically gatekeep everyone, and feds shouldn't be a problem.
Yes.
Basically, don't let people in because we've got enough people. We just need quality people.
Can we fuck off where from?
Yeah, pretty much. Aye.
Again, that's part of why I wanted to foster the channel in the way that I've done. And I there's a I don't want to talk badly about certain people, but there's conversations I've had both in my own server and in other servers which remind me why a lot of this stuff is not appropriate for a wider audience. Because they quite simply do not have the grounding for it. Oh, excuse me. And they have the perennial 2015 brain that is so such an infectious force in the quote unquote anti SJW community that a lot of this stuff has had to try and distance from because it is so
Just
cancerous.
I've noticed a Seasider has given us a super
Yes.
chat. He's saying sexy chat and sexy stream.
Thank you, Seasider.
It's the
Thank you
bot
for
super chats cursed.
the it's th thank you for the $10. Unfortunately, we can no longer spend that on a something awful membership for that is now dead. And Ez is a very obscure joke these days. I do sometimes feel like an internet old man.
Oh, you do. You do. You do, do you?
Gonna whip out the BBSs and do some phone freaking, talk about your
I was
bot.
selling the internet back when 3,306 3,600 modems was fast. I'll have you know, you
This
and your broadbands.
man remembers bod rates. Fear him.
Right. That's I'm putting an end to this. And I don't think we have
Okay.
anything else to show.
No.
I'm going to be working on some other stuff, so there probably won't be a stream this Monday, but I have some essays I can read through and try and knock something
Yes.
together for the Monday
At some
after.
point, He's in the chat, and thank you for all your previous editing. At some point, Plasma Rob will also have worked up my speech. I'm sorry it's in such rough shape.
Is
he
this
needed a lot,
the
I
one
think.
I started looking at and then told you to go write it again?
Yes, it is. So that has been rewritten and is in the edit queue. Although Mr. Plasma Rob, he's a rather busy man. Although everyone do congratulate him on his relatively new job. For that is good news, and
Indeed.
he has been a great asset and friend to the Substack. So, thank you for that.
I was golf
For I am
clapping.
dyslexic and cannot spell, but
Yes.
I will stop rambling and say goodbye from me.
And a very good night from him.
And a good evening, probably for myself as well, I suppose.
Bye. There we go. We're off.